بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Indeed, all praise and thanks are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord and Creator of the universe, who has placed us in this land of peace and security, where we are free and have the freedom to gather together, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in small groups and large groups, with peace and security. And indeed, this is the great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must never forget that. We must always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and also thank those and appreciate the efforts of those who have become or have been used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a means of giving us this right and this freedom. The Stanley Cup finals are underway, and actually the NBA finals are as well, but I'll talk about hockey because it's probably a bit more relevant to us. The finals are underway, but unfortunately the Canadian Tire Centre is quiet, along with the 27 other NHL arenas. But that doesn't mean that there's no activity there. The teams are getting ready for the NHL entry draft. The Senators are most likely working on trading Jason Spezza. The GM's meeting is coming up in New York City soon. And there's discussion about, you know, which players could step in. Spezza is traded, and who knows who the Senators are going to get in the trade, right? So who are the players who can step up and fill the hole that will be left in the team with his departure? The pressure is also on the management of the team, especially the general manager, to make moves that would bring players in, that can improve the team, that can make things better so that they do better next year, and eventually one day they can win the cup, inshallah. And you know, the thing is that that's how we usually think. When we look at others to bring positive change, the fans want a winning team. The players want a winning team. So everyone's looking at management. Everyone is looking at the general manager and the coach to see what they're going to do, right? That's how we usually operate. We look at others to bring about positive change. At work, right? Usually what happens, we look at management, we look at our superiors, our bosses, to make changes that would make things better, that can bring positive change. As citizens, we look up to the different levels of government. We look up to our politicians and our elected leaders to make improvements and to make our quality of life better and easier. Even in families, right? Children or parents look at children. They want them to behave. They want them to, you know, live in a certain way. Children want parents to make their life better for them by giving them all the things that they want, right? Spouses often want the same thing as well from the other spouse, right? They want them to become better, to do more, to become more efficient, to be more loving, to do this and to do that. And to a certain degree, it's true. To a certain degree, it's true that those with power, those with authority, have an important role to play when it comes to bringing about positive change. But as members of Team Islam, and as members of Team Humanity, the reality is that we all individually have a role to play in making our homes, our communities, our city, our country, and the world a better place. And this starts by making ourselves better and bringing positive change first into our own lives. So the question should be, instead of thinking what the others should do to make things better, The question should be, what can I do to make things better? What changes can I bring into my life, into my way of thinking, into my attitude and my choices to make things better? You know, when we look at the examples of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all, they would always look at themselves first. When a verse of the Quran was revealed, right, they didn't just go around looking, oh yeah, that applies to that person. Oh yeah, I think that was meant for that brother there. No, that's not how they operated, and that's not how they thought. The verse of Surah Ali Imran was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, You shall never attain true piety and righteousness unless you spend from that which you love. حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. Until you spend from that which you love. Until then, meaning spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not on, like, you know, on things that you like. Okay, so spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sadaqah and charity. Until then, you're not going to attain true righteousness and true piety. Okay, so once again, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't go around thinking, okay, yes, such and such person really needs to get rid of that camel, right, or really needs to give away, you know, all that wealth that they have because they love it so much. No, they thought about themselves. And one companion by the name of Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu, he was one of the richest, he was one of the wealthiest of the Ansar, of the helpers, of the people of Medina. And he had this fruit farm or garden, if you will, called Bayraha. And Bayraha was a place which was at that time on the outskirts of the city of Medina to Munawwara. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go there, and there was a well there, and he would drink water from that well. And even today, the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has expanded so much that that area is now inside the masjid, and that well is marked. There is a mark in the ground. There's no sign or anything, but if you go with someone who knows where it is, they can sort of move the carpet and show you where that spot is. In any case, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu owned this garden, this fruit farm. And that was the dearest of his possessions. That was what he loved most. So when this verse was revealed, he put it upon himself. And he thought to himself, okay, what is it from my possessions, from my wealth? And remember, he's the wealthiest of the Ansar. What is it that I love most out of all my possessions and my wealth? And he said, okay, this is it. I love this garden the most. And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this away because this verse has been revealed. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, the same thing. He had a horse that he loved very much. Like nowadays, people love cars, right? And it's funny because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, like, name brand horses as one of the things that people love, right? That the love that has been put into the hearts of human beings, especially men, right? And today we have cars, right? With good names, of course. So Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu had a horse that he loved, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offering that in charity, in sadaqah. So they didn't look at others first. Right, they looked at how they themselves could act upon the injunctions and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How they could become better first and bring positive change into their own lives first. There's a famous saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Judge your deeds before they are judged. Judge your deeds before they are judged. And weigh your deeds before they are weighed, meaning on the day of judgment. So always be conscious of your own actions, your own deeds. There will come a time when they will be weighed. There will come a time when each of us will be judged for every single action of ours, every single word, every single glance, every single keystroke, every single thing that we hear. So judge yourself before that time comes when you are judged. So we start with ourselves. And ideally, take some time out of your day. maybe at bedtime. Right? Instead of counting sheep, perhaps, you can't go to sleep. Right? Keep a few minutes after you lay on your bed. And conduct an audit of your day. Go through, observe your daily actions, and ask yourself, what are the things that I have done today? Are these the things that I can happily defend in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or easily defend? Are these the things that I can give an explanation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are these the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be pleased with? If it was good, then say Alhamdulillah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. If these were things that I shouldn't have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be happy with them. Then think, okay, what can I do to improve myself? What can I do to bring positive change into my life? Change my behavior for the better. My character, my attitude, my faith, my actions. How can I improve all of that? Because otherwise, brothers and sisters, the risk is stagnation. Right? We become stagnant. And if you see water that's stagnant, it's not very pleasant. Okay, if you have an old swimming pool, right, water has been sitting around for a long time, haven't cleared it out, haven't run the filter, haven't pumped it out, well, it's not the type of water you want to go swimming in. Okay, so that's what ends up happening to our hearts as well, our spiritual hearts. If we have stagnation, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me and help all of us. So from the Islamic perspective, change starts with ourselves. But it's not just limited to ourselves. Okay, because we don't live in isolation, obviously. We interact with people. We are part of a community, of a society. And human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that the human beings were made, He has created the human beings as custodians, Khalifatul Arq, as custodians upon earth. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how has he been described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described as a mercy not just to the Muslims, not just to Arabia, right? Not just to human beings, not just to the believers, not just to the human beings, not just a certain part of the world, not just planet Earth. Rahmatul lil alamin, right? For the entire universe, the entire creation. So this tells us that our care and concern and focus on trying to bring about positive change is not just limited to ourselves or our homes or our communities, but it must be broad. It must be broad, and we must always try to bring positive change everywhere, right? And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Right, he brought about positive change. Never seen before in the history of mankind. But the type of change that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought in that short period of time. So thus we get encouragement to be caring and to try to bring positive change around us as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that our ummah, our community, our nation, is the best that has been produced. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. And what is the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has given us this title in saying, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Right? You enjoin what is right. You promote, you encourage what is right. And you forbid, discourage what is wrong. Okay, so again, we get the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be promoters of good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated, it's a famous hadith, that whoever amongst you sees something munkar, something which is evil or objectionable, he must change it with his hand. Okay, so there must be an effort, physical effort made to change it. If one is unable to do so, then an effort still must be made, but with the tongue. And if one is unable to change it with the tongue, then with the heart. And it's interesting because, you know, we hear that, I've heard this hadith numerous times before as well, but I actually was thinking about it. Prophet ﷺ is saying first to change it, and then he says with your heart. And how can you change something with your heart?
Right? So understand that it is wrong in your heart. Dislike it in your heart. So that you don't become inclined towards it. So that you don't fall for it. And you understand that it is something which is objectionable and something which is incorrect. Now, of course, these actions must be done appropriately. Right? It must be done appropriately in a legal and a permissible manner. So don't take what I'm saying in the wrong way, please. The Prophet ﷺ has also told us that even removing harm from the path, imatatul adha an tariq, is a part of faith. So you're walking down the street, okay, and you find there's a piece of rock, that there's some sort of stone on the sidewalk, somebody could trip over it. Removing that is a part of our faith. Right? Once I was at Walmart, somebody had left a shopping cart in the middle of the parking lot. Right? As a believer, it's our responsibility. Move that shopping cart. That is the weakest form of faith. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ has told us. So all of this shows that the concern for bringing positive change, even in the smallest and insignificant ways, it counts. It counts. Even if it's small, even if it seems insignificant, it matters. And it counts. So my brothers and sisters, let's try to use every possible opportunity and avenue, every tool, every method that is appropriate and that is permissible, and that is legal, to bring about positive change, to promote goodness, to bring improvements and correct the things which are wrong. And one of the means that are available to us, and especially relevant right now, are elections. So of course, we've seen election signs outside, the green, the blue, the red, the orange. We have the ability, to a certain extent, to choose the type of government we want and the person we want representing us. And this, of course, affects us in many ways. Okay? Even if you don't want to admit it. Okay? Even if you're totally oblivious to politics and the election, and you pay no attention to all those signs out there, the results of the election are going to have an effect on us, whether we like it or not. Okay, our taxes, healthcare, unemployment, help for those in need, education, especially for children, very, very important. Our religious rights, all of these things are affected or can be affected. And especially today, with the rising cases and incidents of Islamophobia, and at a time when the situation can be very delicate and fragile. Right? We know, especially the brothers and sisters who deal with the media, who deal with different organizations, with law enforcement, we know how delicate the circumstances are. Right? The moment we have a little bit of trouble, even a little bit of trouble can be a lot of trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us all. So the times that we live in are very, very delicate. So it's crucial that we are engaged. It's crucial that we are engaged and are trying to do our utmost to promote positive change, to ensure that we have responsible leadership that can react appropriately if needed. The leaders play a big role. The leaders, whether they're political leaders, community leaders, they play a big role when, God forbid, something happens. So we want those who are committed to standing up for our civil liberties, those who are committed to our rights to freedom of religion and expression, those who are ready to stand up against racism and discrimination. Some of us may not like how the system works. We may not like the system. Okay? We may think it's whatever. It goes against the teachings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inappropriate. And we don't like how it works. We may not agree with many things. But brothers and sisters, we've got to face reality. Okay? The fact of the matter is, there is a system. And the only way to bring change is not to sit around eating biryani or couscous or whatever it may be and talking about it. Okay? And letting out some steam, but to do something about it legally through the system and the channels that exist. Otherwise, we are going to be missing in action. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to stand up firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwameena bil qisti shuhada lillah. So if we feel that there is something unjust, if we feel that there is something oppressive about government policies, or we suspect, we fear that unjust policies could come from the winner of an election, as we have seen, it becomes our responsibility to use appropriate, so legal and permissible and wise means to stop this injustice and oppression from occurring, or at the very least, try. You see, when the Muslims immigrated to Abyssinia, 5 years after the Prophet was given to the Prophet ﷺ, a group of Muslims migrated with the Hijrah to Abyssinia. And the king, Najashi, he was in Abyssinia at the time, he was a Christian. He took them in, he treated them kindly, with hospitality and generosity. And it is recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, that there was a rebellion. There was a rebellion against Najashi. And the Muslims were sad. And the Muslims were concerned and they were worried because they didn't know what was going to happen. Their future was at stake. Because he was the king who had offered them protection. And he had offered them safety. And those who were causing the rebellion, they did not know. They were afraid that perhaps they did not know about the truth about Islam. And that they would not respect the rights of the Muslims when they came to power. So the Muslims, and these were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it is stated that they made heavy dua. They made dua, they supplicated for Najashi, for the Christian king. But they made a heavy dua, so not just supplicated, but they really made supplication. And they even helped him investigate the enemy and get information for him and support him. And eventually, Najashi won. Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he asked the king of Egypt to appoint him as a keeper of the treasury. قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. The king was not a believer, but he offered himself because he was concerned about the welfare of the people. He was concerned about the safety of public funds and how they would be used. So he offered himself for this position so that he could make things better for people. It is also our responsibility to ensure that we are governed by the best people. So it's almost like we're being asked to give advice or testimony regarding who is the most suitable of the available candidates to govern us. By not voting for the best candidate, we are actually supporting the worst candidate. By not voting for the best candidate, we're actually supporting the worst candidate. So we try our best. Now, no one's perfect. Okay, so people wonder, you know, if I'm actually giving testimony about someone and they have some whacked out views or their ideology is a little bit messed up, you know, it goes against the teachings of Islam, what about that? Right? So the answer is that our intention when we're voting is not to say that, yes, this person is perfect and we are fully supporting every single thing that they have said and every single thing that they stand for. Right? Rather, what we're saying is that we're looking for the most suitable candidate out of all the available candidates. And it doesn't mean that we are agreeing with every single action or every single belief and ideology of theirs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We must make an informed decision, as Allah says, when we judge, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. That whenever you judge between people, judge with justice. Okay, so not because, oh, somebody just told me to vote for this person, so I'm just going to do it. Okay, or I know such and such person's family, or maybe not the case in this writing, but you know, he's from this ethnicity or she's from there, so I know them, so I'm just going to vote from them. Right? Or the initials of their party are familiar to some party which I knew back home, so I'm just going to vote. Okay, that's not the way it should work. We need to make informed decisions, so please go ahead, take a look at the candidates, check out the website, inform yourself, read their bios, their positions on issues, talk, ask around which candidate is the best for the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in making the best decisions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the people of positive change. Because my brothers and sisters, we will start with ourselves, inshaAllah. We start with ourselves, bringing improvement, positive change into ourselves, then into our community, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the most united, most peaceful community with the highest level of Iman, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us one of the best Muslim communities in Canada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to bring positive change in our lives, in our communities, in our city, our country, in our world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy and blessings upon us all. Ameen wa akhidam an.
Allah. vulnerable.